Bibles, if you will, and I want you to stand and turn to Mark chapter 15. The book of Mark chapter 15. And this week, we're going to bring you a series of messages on the symbolism of Barabbas. Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 7 down through verse 15. If you have your Bible, will you say amen? All right, fine. You all got it there? I hope you have. And if you don't have, if you didn't bring your Bible, I'll tell you right now, you need to bring it tomorrow night. The symbolism of Barabbas. And very few people know anything about this man. But in Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 7, we read these words. Now there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. The word insurrection is rebellion. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Shall we pray? Our Lord, tonight, sanctify this endeavor. Thank you for meeting with us already. And we just praise thee for the privilege we have of gathering here in thy house. Guide and direct and give listening ears, attentive mind, and an open heart. And Lord, do whatever work has to be done in each one of us this evening. Search our hearts, cause us to think more upon thee than ever before, and make us better servants of thine, those of us that know thee. Is anyone here that doesn't know thee? O our God, we just pray. Finger on that heart, where it may be, and Lord, bring them under conviction, and then reveal Christ to them as only thou canst do. But whatever it is, glorify thyself in this endeavor, we ask, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our subject tonight, the symbolism of Barabbas. Today we shall look at the deliverance of Barabbas from death and the condemnation from the Roman law. In his experience, we have a picture of what takes place when God saves a sinner. Our redemption, or your redemption, must have in it the same characteristics as that of Barabbas, or else it's something wrong. Always remember one thing. The Word of God is never wrong, but our experience with God has got to correspond with that which is set forth in the Word of God. So tonight, for a few moments, we're going to look at what the Word of God teaches with regard to Barabbas. Three things to stand out for a moment or two tonight. First of all, Barabbas is an important figure in the Word. Now listen carefully. He portrays the sinner, the saint, the nation of Israel, and the Antichrist, as well as God's method of redemption. Now that's the importance of Barabbas. I also have a series of messages on Barabbas where I have taken the seven doctrines of grace and applied six of them to Barabbas. And I'll tell you right now, here's what the seven doctrines of grace are, in case you don't remember. Number one, it's the sovereignty of God. Number two, it's the total depravity of man. Number three, it's blood redemption. Number four, it's salvation by grace. Number five, it's the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. Number six, it's the second coming of Christ. And number seven, it's the doctrine of Satan. Now, I haven't found the doctrine of Satan or the second coming of Christ in Barabbas yet, but I'm still looking for them. And I believe I'm going to find them, because those doctrines are there. And when you study your Bible, study them from that aspect, if you will. And so tonight, for a few moments, I want to share with you that Barabbas is an important figure in the Word of God. As I mentioned before, we find he portrays not only the saint, the sinner, the nation of Israel, and the Antichrist, but also the method that God uses in redemption. Now listen carefully. Barabbas was saved by free, sovereign, personal grace, the way God saves every sinner. No other way. And we find that as we look at that, we find very clearly someone might ask, well, preacher, what is grace? Well, let me give you the definition, if I may. Grace is the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon the undeserving and irresistibly accomplishing its purpose with regard to its design, thus controlling every circumstance which affects the life of the individual. Now, you listen again. Our salvation, if it's genuine, will have the same kind of characteristics in it that Barabbas experienced. So we need to look into Barabbas and see what he's like. And we find here, Barabbas is a picture or a type of the unsaved individual. Look at verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection or rebellion with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Now what in the world do you have here? Barabbas is the type of the unsaved individual. If you're here tonight and you're without Christ, this is your category. Number one, you're guilty. Number two, we find very clearly, you are guilty, you're sentenced, you're helpless, and you're bound, and you're living under a reprieve. Now, where in the world do you find that? Verse 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, who had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now, what in the world do you have here? Notice carefully, if you will. Barabbas was bound. Well, where was he? I'll tell you where he was. He was shackled with chains. He was in a Roman prison. He made rebellion against the Roman government, and we find the Roman government captured him and put him in prison and shackled him with chains. And I'll tell you right now, he couldn't get out. Now, hold your seat. That's a picture of every sinner outside of Christ. A sinner outside of Christ is guilty of rebellion against the Lord God of heaven. Now, you say, Preacher, how do you know that? Well, let me show it to you. Take your Bibles, if you will. Keep your finger on Mark chapter 15. Go back with me to Galatians chapter 3 and look at what it says. And this will tell you very clearly how guilty we are. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, we find in verse 10, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Listen to it, if you will. Here we find, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All right, let's go back a little further. Here we find the condition of an individual. Now go back to Romans chapter 3, if you will, and look at me at verses 19 and 20. And in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20, we find, or verse 19 and 20, we find these words. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now hold your seat again, if you will. The only people today that are under grace are those that are converted. Everybody else is under the law. And the law does what? The law condemns, because the law says, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And none of us has done that. And so Barabbas, what he done? He rose up in rebellion against the Roman government, and the Roman government captured him, and they did what? They put him in chains, which is a picture of a sinner shackled by the chains of the law. Now, people today are trying to keep the law. It's an impossibility. And how glad that we don't have to keep the law, because the Lord Jesus Christ, we find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, that we find these words, where Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness forever to everyone that believeth. And we find the Lord Jesus Christ did what? He took our place. He became guilty on our behalf. He paid for our sin because he died as a guilty sinner condemned by the law. But he didn't stay there. Hallelujah. He rose again the third day and he's seated in the heavens. And I'll tell you right now, it's a wonderful reality to know him as our Redeemer. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now let's look at Barabbas again. We find very clearly he was guilty. The second thing about him was this. He was sentenced. You say, how do you know? Verse 15. We find very clearly. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here we find Barabbas is a type of the unsaved individual. Number one, guilty. Number two, sentenced. Number three, we find he was bound. He was rebellious. He was sentenced, but he's living under a reprieve. And we find how condemned are sinners without God? All right, let me show you. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3, if you will. And you look with me at verse 18. In John chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to it. He that believeth on him, referring to Christ, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let me give you another reference. Turn to John chapter 8, if you will, and look at me at verse 24. And in John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said these words. Listen to it. In John chapter 8 and verse 24. And he said in verse 23, And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. Now let me stop right here. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Redeemer? If he is, my friend, you're going to go to heaven with me. If you don't, I'll tell you right now, you're not going to go to heaven with me. Instead, you're going to go to the place called hell, which is a very terrible place where his sinners will be all eternity. Now, Barabbas was guilty. He was sentenced, he was helpless, and he was bound. And we find very clearly, the next thing about Barabbas was this. He was dependent upon a supernatural deliverance. He couldn't deliver himself. The Roman government bound him. They put him in jail. We find he was in the dungeon. And we find he couldn't get out. And we find he could will himself out all he wanted to, but it doesn't work. We find he had to have a supernatural deliverance, and that had to come from the outside. And every individual without Christ is the same category, and that's the way we were at one time until the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and saved us. The deliverance had to come from outside himself. All right? The same thing is true with us. Now, what is that deliverance that comes outside of ourselves? Turn to John chapter 3, and I'll show you, and I'll show you also how it takes place. In John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a religious individual, and Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Now here's how it takes place. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you see, being born again is a supernatural deliverance, and we find Barabbas had to have a supernatural deliverance, or he could never be made free. You and I have to have a supernatural deliverance, or we cannot be made free of the bondage that we are in. Now, this is the condition of Barabbas at this hour. We find very clearly, now notice carefully, if you will, not only is he guilty, but we find very clearly he had to have the same kind of deliverance that Barabbas had. And so, let's look at it. How does it come about? How does an individual get converted? We find, first of all, that individual is going to be shut up in prison by God. God's going to put him in prison, in the prison of a spiritual prison. And I'll tell you right now, that individual can't get out. Now, what do I mean by a spiritual prison? It means this. God will put you in a place where you know that God's speaking to you. And you can't get away from it. You may try to run and hide. You may try to get involved in this and that. But the Spirit of God will not let you alone. He'll put you in a place. And I'll tell you right now, you can't get out. And we find the Lord God of heaven is going to do that kind of a work. And people today don't know what in the world we're talking about. But every individual has to be shut up by the Holy Spirit of God for that person to be saved. And we find very clearly, not only that, he does. Now here's the pure picture of our redemption with regard to Barabbas. You say, "Preacher, all right, I pointed out that he was guilty, he was sentenced, he was helpless, and he was hopeless, he was living under reprieve, and he was dependent upon a supernatural deliverance, and that deliverance had to come from outside himself, and it's the same thing with our salvation at this hour," all right? Now, how does it work? All right, I want you to notice. Number one, Barabbas was separated from everybody else. Where was he? In prison. Verse 7, "There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." Where was Barabbas? He was shut up in prison by himself. Now, it doesn't say that, but I believe personally that Barabbas was, if I may use that term, Barabbas was in solitary confinement. Now, why do I say that? Because when God sets out to save a sinner, God separates that individual from everybody else. And he deals with that individual according to his will and according to his sovereignty. And I'll tell you right now, your salvation is particular to you, but it still has the same characteristics that I'm going to describe for you in a moment or two as we study Barabbas. And we find that, I ask you a question. Has God ever shut you up in prison? Has he ever singled you out and put you, as it were, in solitary confinement? And you knew that God, and you, should I say, you knew that God was talking to you, and you knew that you knew it. You didn't know if he was talking to anybody else or not, but you knew that he was talking to you. And it was personal to you. And we find Barabbas was the same category. We see him set forth, separated from everybody else. Then, notice carefully, in verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Here's the second thing that takes place. Not only was Barabbas separated from everybody else, but he was standing before the judge, who at that time was Pilate. He was standing before the judge, shackled with those chains. He was standing before the judge, standing there at the judge's discretion. In other words, Pilate could spare him, or Pilate could continue and sentence him to death and cause him to be carried out. Now, spiritually, that takes place in the heart of an individual. The Spirit of God does what? He brings us before the Lord God of heaven as our judge. And we stand there before the Lord God of heaven, shackled with the chains of the law, because we have broken the law, and we are shackled with it, and we find we are standing before Barabbas, or before God, without hope, without help, unless it supernaturally come, and we are standing there before the Lord God of heaven, and he can do with us as he will. He can set us free, or he'll carry out the sentence and send us to hell. And we find Barabbas was in that category, separated from everybody else, standing before the judge condemned. And when God sets out to save us, I'll tell you right now, we stand before God condemned by the law, and I'll tell you right now, there's only one way to get out. And there had to be a supernatural deliverance. I talked with a young fellow some time ago, and I asked him, I said, tell me how the Lord saved you. I don't remember. I said, you don't remember how God saved you? No. I said, well, when were you under conviction? I don't remember. I said, when did the Lord reveal himself to your heart? He said, I don't remember. You know why? He'd never been there. Now, the greatest thing can happen to an individual, if and when it does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to save that person. And every individual whom God saves knows that God has saved him. He knows where God has saved him. He knows the time that God has saved him. But I'll tell you right now, he may not remember and know the day, the hour, the second, or the minute. But I'll tell you right now, he can take you back to the place where he stood before God under condemnation, and God could save him or damn him. He was already condemned, but to his amazement, what happened? God delivered him. Now, Barabbas is in the same category. Now look again, if you will. We find very clearly, he was standing before the judge condemned. Now listen, substitution was the only means for his deliverance. And that substitution here was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, Christ over here, Barabbas over here, the Pilate sitting in front of them, and they were under condemnation, and we find the multitude was crying out. They said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, who? They wanted Jesus Christ to crucify him. Now how come they wanted Barabbas to be set free? They chose Barabbas over the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find substitution was the only means that Barabbas had for him to be converted. The Lord Jesus Christ took Barabbas' place. Again, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And then notice, the soldiers led him away into the hall called the Praetorium, and there they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him and say, Hail, King of the Jews! Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in substitution, took the place of Barabbas. Now you let me ask you a question. Has he taken your place? You think on that. Has he taken your place? Have you ever stood before God guilty, like Barabbas, under the condemnation of the law, and standing there before the judge condemned, and substitution was the only means of deliverance? And then I want you to notice the fourth thing. The fourth thing was this. Barabbas was sovereignly delivered by grace. Again, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Now what do we have here, all right? We have here a clear-cut picture of sovereign grace. We don't know that Pilate delivered anybody else, but we do know this. Pilate delivered the Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of the soldiers. We don't know that there's anybody else standing there or not. Personally, I think there was. Now, we won't go into that. But anyway, we find very clearly what happened was this. We find Pilate, he looked at the Lord Jesus, and we find, all right, who do you want to be crucified? Crucify him, they said to the Lord Jesus. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, did what? He released Barabbas unto him. Now, how long did that take? Did it take months? Did it take years? Did it take hours? It only took seconds. Because all he said, all Pilate said was, release him. Turn him loose. And I'll tell you why. Turn him loose. Because the ransom's been found. And Jesus Christ was that ransom. And one day, I'll tell you right now, you and I stood before the Lord Jesus. If you're saved here tonight, we stood before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, we were sovereignly delivered by the grace of God. And Pilate was, or I should say, Barabbas was sovereignly delivered by the grace of Pilate. You and I were sovereignly delivered by the grace of God. All right? Now hold your seat. Are you listening? It was singularly experienced by Barabbas. Are you listening? Barabbas stood before Pilate, condemned, helpless, hopeless, and hapless. His mouth was shut because he was guilty. He couldn't save himself. It had to be deliverance from the outside. And so he stood there before Pilate, and we find very clearly, Pilate looked at him and looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and had listened to the crowd, and the crowd said, crucify him, referring to Christ. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, did what? He released Barabbas. He said these words, turn him loose. And you know what happened? The chains that Barabbas was bound with, they were taken away from him. And that's something else. Barabbas walked into that courtroom guilty. He walked out of that courtroom, are you listening? Free. Justified because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that something? And we find very clearly. He was sovereignly delivered. And then, listen carefully now. This is also singularly experienced by each individual. If God ever brings you unto himself, if he hasn't already done so, I'll tell you right now, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You're going to stand before God guilty, condemned, silent, shackled by the law. You can't do anything about it. You stand before God hopeless and helpless, and you've been crying and praying, and it's seemingly there's no answer coming. But then are you listening? God saves you when you least expect him to. And how wonderful it is. Barabbas stood before Pilate, and we find very clearly, all of a sudden Pilate said to them, release them, release him. And he delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Oh, now what are you talking about? All right. This was singularly experienced by Barabbas. And salvation is an experience between the individual and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice carefully. Nobody else is invited. Nobody else is involved. And it tells me very clearly, these so-called soul winners can't lead a soul to Christ. They may try, but it doesn't do any good. They lead them on a profession. But are you listening? That salvation experience has to come to that individual by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and that individual will stand before God guilty, and that individual will stand there and wonder if God ever saved him, and then suddenly and mysteriously and positively, I'll tell you right now, the Spirit of God reveals the Lord Jesus Christ to that person, and they know, as Barabbas knew, Jesus took his place, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ took my place. I don't know if he took your place or not, but I know he took mine. And it's so personal. And I'll tell you right now, you can never, never get over it. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. All right, one more thing. What takes place in redemption? And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. All right? What takes place in redemption? The same thing that took place with regard to Barabbas. Number one, there was a change of position forever. Barabbas was under the guilt of the condemnation of the law of the Roman government. All right? Barabbas was freed by the governor. He was released. And we find the individual is freed by God himself. And that's why I like that verse of scripture, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And how true it is. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray this is what takes place. We find there's a change of position forever. Secondly, it's illustrated by the name of Barabbas. Now listen carefully. The name of Barabbas means son of the Father. And when you and I get saved, we become a son of God or a daughter of God. We find as many as believe him, to them he will what? He gives them the authority or the power to become the sons of God. And we find Barabbas, by his name, set forth the position of a believer. There's a change in position forever. Barabbas means son of the Father. And when an individual gets converted, we become a son of the living God. The third thing that takes place is this. The shackles of the law are removed from the individual. Because as I mentioned before, the individual without Christ today is under the condemnation of the law. Now people may say, but I don't feel like it. That doesn't change it any. It doesn't change it a bit. God said very clearly, if you don't continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, you're condemned or you're cursed. And the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for us, because we find what happened. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now, what else do we have? We find there's not only the change, and it's illustrated by the name, the shackles of the law are removed from the individual. And are you listening? The revelation of Christ is made real to the individual. Now, hold your seat. Barabbas saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. We see him by the eye of faith. But Barabbas knew that Jesus Christ took our place. And we also know that the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. Because you see, God has made it real to us as it was made real to Barabbas in the flesh. Then we find also there were privileges bestowed with regard to Barabbas. We find Barabbas with what? He was made free, set free by the Roman government. He was no doubt issued a pardon. That meant he was a citizen of Rome. And we find that they couldn't bring in charges against him. And it's the same way with a believer tonight. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. And we find very clearly, are you listening? Nobody can charge a believer with anything, because we are in Christ Jesus. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about? You see, this is what takes place. And we find the privileges that are bestowed upon us in redemption. All right, here's what they are. Number one, we become an heir of eternal life. Secondly, we become a citizen of heaven. Thirdly, we are adopted in the king's family. Fourth, we have a perfect and perpetual access to the throne of God. And fifth, we are loved by God as much as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's Barabbas. And we find very clearly that Barabbas' experience is ours. Huh? Freed by substitution, freed by grace, freed by blood and power. And we find the revelation is made personal to the individual. And gratitude should be the motive of our service. Oh, I ask you a question. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more tonight than you did a year ago? If you don't, my friend, something is wrong. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The greatest thing that can happen to an individual, if it ever does, that individual to be brought into the judgment bar of God and then set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior we have. And what a hope we have. I'm looking forward to be with the Lord forever and ever. And I haven't got too far to go. I'm probably the oldest person in this room. Anybody older than 85, raise your hand. Well, all right, I am. I'm 85. And I'll tell you right now, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to seeing my Lord Jesus Christ in the near future. I may die by the grave, I may go through the grave, or I may go by the rapture. I'm hoping I can go by the rapture. But I'll tell you right now, it's real. My salvation is real. I know it's real. No hope so, no think so, no guess so, no maybe so, no surrender, no wonder so. It's real. And I joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, may something have been said that the Spirit of God will touch your heart and bring you into the same position that God brought Barabbas in, and he'll do when he does that. He puts you in that category for the purpose of delivering you. And Barabbas, now listen carefully. Barabbas did nothing, deserved nothing, had nothing, but got everything. And we do nothing, we deserve nothing, we have nothing, we are nothing, but hallelujah, God gives us everything. Isn't it a privilege to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we pray? Our Father, today, thank you again for each one that you brought this way. Oh Lord, we pray, help us to appreciate you more and serve you better. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over us and bring us back again tomorrow night, if it please thee. If not, thy will be done. And Lord, we pray, draw others to this place that they might hear the wondrous gospel that is set forth by the experience of Barabbas. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen.